It's Grant Schofield here, and I'm here with Dr. Karen Zinn, our PhD registered dietitian. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Grant. How's it going?
Good. And we're looking at all the different diets that are out there. There's a big range.
Yeah.
What have we got?
Yeah, so we have got a wide range, and you know, on the one end we've got the low-fat diet, and on the other end of the spectrum we've got the low-carb healthy fat or low-carb high fat and the keto diet. And we've got paleo that fits in there as well, and we've got the range of vegetarian eating. So that comes from, you know, vegetarian, lacto over vegetarianism, right through to vegans.
Mediterranean?
Oh, of course, Mediterranean fits in there too.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
So let's have a look at them one at a time. Why don't we start with low fat? What's that all about?
Yeah, so the low fat diet is really has a central principle of eating foods that have a low fat content. So when you look at dairy products, making sure that you have low fat milk and low fat yogurt and low fat cheese. And when you look at your animal products, it's choosing lean versions of your meats and your chicken and your fish. It's making sure you take the skin off the chicken, you cut the fat off the meat. And when it comes to fats and oils themselves, it's making sure that you use very small amounts in your cooking and even a spray. You know, when you're cooking your foods, just to keep your overall fat content of your diet, low.
And the idea, of course, is that fat has twice the calories, or just more than twice the calories of carbs and proteins. It's a good way to get calories down.
Absolutely. So if you have a low fat diet, you can typically have a low calorie diet, and that's the drive in that direction.
And an emphasis on fruits and veg.
There is an emphasis on fruits and veg, and I guess when you are eating foods that have a low-fat content, you have to get your energy from somewhere, so you'll be eating foods that have protein and carbohydrates, so you know, your healthy whole grains, breads and cereals, and then your fruits and vegetables and your lean meats come in there too as the rest of your foods.
And what's that going to look like in practice? Let's just go for breakfast.
Yeah, so breakfast might be some whole grain bread or toast with, if you're using avocado, which is a high fat food, you probably just want to put a little scrape on there. Or you could do something like poached eggs on there, but you wouldn't want to cook them in, well, they're poached, so they're in water, but you wouldn't want to add much fat to that. Or you've got a low fat cereal with low fat fruit yogurt or low fat milk.
Okay. Next on the list,
yeah.
Mediterranean.
Yeah, so the Mediterranean diet is an interesting one, and I think when you look at the definition of the Mediterranean diet, what you see on paper is not always what you see when you are in the Mediterranean countries themselves. So what that looks like is a little bit like the low-fat diet, but with a liberal use of olive oil. And olive oil is the sort of dominant feature of the Mediterranean diet. Other foods that are higher in healthy fat that feature include things like avocado and nuts and seeds and fatty fish.
So that's the sort of academic definition of the Mediterranean diet. It's basically a low-fat diet, but you're adding nuts and seeds and liberal olive oil.
Yeah, pretty much. The rest of it is the same. There is a specific mention of whole grains and legumes in the Mediterranean diet as well, but I guess that features in low-fat too.
But you're still trimming the fat off your...
You are. So the Mediterranean diet still has an emphasis on low saturated fat, which is typically your animal fat. And actually, when you go to the Mediterranean countries, it doesn't actually play out like that. They don't tend to do it like that. But the textbook definition is keep saturated fat intake, to a minimum.
So, yeah, we'll see. And actual Mediterranean people are probably leaving the fat on their chicken and
that is what is happening.
Pork and beef and whatnot.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, moving along then. Paleo. What's paleo?
Yeah, so paleo is really just a philosophy that indicates that the food that you eat has got to be minimally processed. So it doesn't really have a bias towards, you know, fats, carbohydrate or protein. It's just looking at whole foods. The kind of original paleo description was an exclusion of things like grains and dairy products and legumes.
On the basis that they probably didn't exist prior to agriculture.
Yeah, and our bodies might not be designed to handle them. The more kind of modern paleo is, if you can tolerate dairy, have it, and if you want your legumes, you just need to soak them overnight and put them in the format that sits better with you. But again, the overall philosophy is, you know, fruits and vegetables, meats, and various proteins, and nuts and seeds and fats and oils.
Basic low human interference diet.
Exactly, and that's the key defining factor of paleo, is that it's a philosophy of whole unprocessed foods.
So what's a paleo breakfast?
So a paleo breakfast, I guess, would be eggs with vegetables, like an omelette. That would be a classic paleo breakfast, a minimal processing from there. You can take your eggs from your chickens out of the backyard, and you can put it in a pan with some vegetables that you pick from your garden, and cook it in some butter that you've got from your cow.
Low carb, healthy fat, or yeah. High fat sometimes it's called.
Yeah, so low carb healthy fat is a specific exclusion of carbohydrate sources, and the rule is to keep your carbohydrates under a certain amount. Could be 150, could be 100, depending on what definition.
Grams of carbohydrate.
Grams of carbohydrate per day.
Yep.
So with a higher fat content and a moderate protein content.
So what does that mean in practice? Like, what a slice of bread, how many grams of carbs does a slice of bread
have? So a slice of bread can range from 15 to 30 grams of carbs. And while one slice of bread every now and again is not going to do too much damage if you can tolerate bread, it's the overall carbohydrate load on a daily basis that you want to keep low.
You're not going to have sandwiches for lunch.
You're not going to have pasta and rice for dinner. You're not going to have breakfast cereals. You're not going to have muesli bars and crackers, things like that.
You're probably not going to have much sugar.
No, and of course refined sugar and fizzy drinks and sweets and things like that, you're going to keep to a minimum. It also comes with a philosophy of whole unprocessed foods. So it's looking at good quality carbohydrates, whole foods.
Okay, and then you push further into low carb, and then you're talking about the ketogenic diet.
Yeah, so the keto diet or the ketogenic diet is really the extreme end of low carb healthy fat. So everything is almost identical, apart from the fact that you keep your carbohydrate under 50 grams of total carbohydrate per day.
And your fat is the idea then that you're trying to generate this nutritional ketosis. That is the
goal of the keto diet, is to get you into nutritional ketosis. And a key way to do that is, well, one of the key ways to do that is to keep your carbohydrate as low as you possibly can. But of course, you want to make sure you get lots of non-starchy vegetables in there for your micronutrients.
Keto dinner.
Keto dinner. You know, it's really interesting because people think a keto dinner is like, oh, so special. But it's just protein and vegetables. A piece of chicken or a piece of meat with, a good variety of, cauliflower, broccoli, green beans, mushrooms, a bit of onion, cooked in a liberal amount of fat. So that could be, butter, could be olive oil, could be coconut oil, could be lard. But there tends to be a good dose of fat in there.
Right. Okay, now we're moving into this whole range of, I guess the broader term is flexitarianism in a sort of scientific sense, but we're just talking about people avoiding animal products to some extent. What was that about?
So there is a range, and we'll start with a vegan, and a vegan typically excludes all animal products, so meat, fish, chicken, eggs, and dairy products. So it's the most restrictive dietary system out of the vegetarian spectrum. Then you've got your ovo-lacto vegetarian and your lacto-vegetarian. So ovo-lacto means eggs and lacto coming from lactose in milk, so
they will have those.
So if you see it in the name, you eat it.
Yeah.
Lacto vegetarian is you exclude all the animal products apart from dairy.
Pescatarian.
Pescatarian is when you eat fish, but you don't eat any other of the animal products. Yeah, and
can you be a vegetarian if you're eating meat sometimes?
Well, it depends who you talk to, really. There is a word that I've come across recently called a reducitarian, and that means that you just reduce your intake of meat for various reasons. So I guess you could describe yourself as being a pseudo-vegetarian, when it suits for various reasons.
Okay, and it's a good vegetarian dinner. Let's go for that.
So a good vegetarian, again, it depends what type. If you're eating eggs, you know, a nice big quiche or omelette would be really good.
Yeah.
But typically you would get your protein from plant sources. So things like legumes and chickpeas would be a good way to get your plant protein. Or you can use things like tofu or tempeh as your kind of animal protein equivalent as your main component of your meal. And of course, having that with vegetables cooked in healthy fat with nuts and seeds there too would up the protein too.
So I guess we're talking about, that pretty much wraps it, doesn't it? I guess we've still got that overlay of what defines a healthy diet is going to have whole food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unprocessed food, probably going to be low in sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can actually eat across the spectrum in that way. You can have a healthy focus of whole unprocessed food across that spectrum.
Cool. Okay, Grant Schofield back with Dr. Karen Zinn. Hey, Karen.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. So we've sort of worked our way through the different dietary approaches. We've looked at the evidence for a range of different diets, and I think it's obvious that actually there's a whole range of different approaches, and you just might choose a different approach depending on what's going on. For example, we see that, you know, low carb is effective if you're really insulin resistant. If you're insulin sensitive, then just reducing fat might be as or more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on preferences, and people will be thinking for other reasons,
sure.
Ethical ones about vegetarianism.
Sure.
But it's become really controversial, hasn't it? There's been a big food fight over the last 10 years, especially. What's that all about?
Yeah, controversial and very emotional. And I think a large part of that controversy is because we have one set of guidelines typically around the world for every single population to stick to, and slowly but surely, or quickly, people are realizing that one size does not fit all, and they've been exploring their own dietary options. You know, the knowledge is accessible to everyone, and I think when people find things that work for them and put it out there, the officials don't really like it because they stuck to that one size fits all.
So we've been stuck in this sort of pain point in medicine.
Yeah.
And you've been quite involved in that. You just want to tell us a little bit more about some of that, especially with Professor Noakes in South Africa, has been one of those pain points.
Yeah, so I think there's been, and I use the word vicious because it has been vicious, there's been vicious guarding of the current guidelines, of the moderate to high carbohydrate, low fat mantra. This guarding has played out in all sorts of shapes and forms. And I think Professor Tim Noakes's hearing in South Africa has almost been the pinnacle of that. It's come to a head in such a vicious way. People are just attacking him from all sides because of his promotion and his advocacy for a different way of doing things.
So for those of people who don't know, Professor Noakes has really promoted and sort of advocated for a low carbohydrate way of eating.
He has. So he's a proponent of low carb, high fat.
Yep.
And it comes from a place of his own insulin resistance. He's gone through his whole life following low fat, high carb, marathon runner, very fit, very healthy.
And a medical doctor.
And he's researched exercise science and nutrition his whole life. He's been gulping down sports drinks in his marathons his whole life, and he's run loads of marathons.
And still developed type 2 diabetes.
Type 2 diabetes is the outcome. So he's questioning, well, he has questioned the science, and he's portraying a different way of eating and thinking, and he's been cruelly attacked for that.
But things have moved, haven't they? Those hearings are finished now, and he's been exonerated.
He absolutely has been exonerated on several counts, using Twitter as a means of getting messages out. So Twitter is a forum where there is no such thing as a doctor-patient relationship. So, you know, what you say on Twitter goes to the world. And giving advice in a general sense and giving one-to-one advice in a medical sense are two different things. So he's been cleared of all of that.
Yeah.
And I think the outcome of the hearing that has had him exonerated is a signal to the world that actually low carb, high fat, you know, look out, this is not going away, and this is something to pay attention to.
So what's the sort of more moderate view on this, if we want to be pragmatic about where we're at now? You've just come back from Zurich in Switzerland, where you were a special invite to a meeting convened by Swiss Re, a big health reinsurer, and also in partnership with the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, called Food for Thought. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was a powerful 2 days and a powerful outcome. And, you know, the idea there was to gather researchers from all around the world who are doing a range of, you know, randomized control trials and you know, longitudinal studies and big gutsy research trials on eating patterns and health outcomes, particularly cardiovascular health. And without getting into the intricate details, basically at the end of the 2 days, the editor of the BMJ stood up and she said, you know, in light of all the evidence that we've heard over the last 2 days, it's fair to say that when it comes to saturated fat and heart disease, we've got it wrong and we need to move on. And that sends a shiver down my spine, because that's, you know, that's a signal to the world, to researchers who were anti-saturated fat, who are now saying, actually, this is not a thing anymore, and we need to now move it to the next level, whatever that might be.
And they identified sugar and starch as being some nutrients of concern, if you wanted to look at nutrients of concern.
Yeah, so sugar is definitely something that that everyone agrees with it is a problem. The biggest controversy is the overall, you know, starch carbohydrate that's not refined sugar. So that's the controversy. But there was also a consensus over the 2 days that the main goal of healthy eating should be keeping the overall glycemic load low, which is interesting, because you can do that by having low glycemic index carbohydrates, or you can also do that by just removing carbohydrates as well. So there was a subtle move towards low carb is actually, you know, one of the ways that we need to progress in terms of guiding people.
Okay, and so I've put a link up here to that full issue of the journal. I think it's actually quite readable. They have little grey boxes that summarise everything.
It's great. It's really good.
Okay, now I want your comments on this. So what I've done is I've thought about, you know, different, all these different diets. I actually think there's more in common. Here's what I reckon is in common with all diets, that, and we'll just go through these points by one. They're low in added sugar. Any decent diet, low fat, low carb, Mediterranean paleo, that's, they've all got that going. And we know sugar's a problem.
If you do them well,
Low in added sugar.
Yeah.
Low in refined and processed foods, especially processed carbohydrates.
Sure.
Yeah, so we agree on that. Common and all.
Yeah.
Low in industrial vegetable oils and trans fats.
I would agree with the trans fats.
Yeah.
The industrial vegetable oils is a topic that will progress and move in science, but it's not necessarily embraced by all.
Yeah. Emphasis on fiber and whole plant food intake.
Agreed.
Emphasis on foods, not calories.
Perhaps not the low-fat version of our diet, because I think there's still a fixation on calories, but for the most part, yes.
Yeah. But do you think if we got there with our guidelines, that would be a good thing?
Oh, I think
low in sugar, low in refined and processed foods, especially carbohydrates, low in industrial vegetable oils, low in processed trans fats, high in fiber, especially from vegetables, and focus on foods rather than calories.
That would certainly be the dietary pattern, along with other lifestyle behaviours that would make us just flourish.
Okay, well, that's the fix then. Mm-hmm. We can move forward as a species with some agreement around diet, because it's controversy drives emotionality, and we get nowhere in medicine.
Yeah, it sure does.